Good evening.
Good evening.
Happy to see everyone out again. It's been a beautiful day, and we know it's going to get warmer again. I'm happy about that. But we should be thankful for every day that we have, and I'm thankful to see each and every one of you all out here tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about being ready. So, when we think about what the Bible says about readiness, about getting ready, about being ready, and about staying ready, we think about God Himself, and we think about Jesus. When Jesus was on earth, think about the readiness that He had. There was never a time that Jesus wasn't there to turn concern to somebody that needed it. When they needed Him, He was there for them. Always. And when we think about God, what do we think about? Well, we think about the fact that He's ready to pardon, according to Nehemiah 9:17. He's ready to forgive, according to Psalm 86, verse 5. He's ready to save, according to Isaiah 38, verse 20. And we need to think about how good that is. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you have a bellyache, and it's, say, 2 o'clock in the morning, do you ever think, you know, I wonder if I should bother God right now? It's pretty late. I wonder if He's up. We never have to think that, because He's always up, He's always ready, and He's always ready to be concerned for us and to help us. So we should be very grateful that we serve a ready God. And in regard to Jesus again, Hebrews 7, verse 25, it said, the Bible reads, therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. So God, He's interceding for us. Jesus is interceding, helping us to get our prayers across to God. So is the Holy Spirit, according to many verses. And we need to think about that, that God is there for us. Lowly sinners that we are, God is there to help us. He cares about your bellyache. He cares about how long you're waiting in that line because He knows it's bothering you. Whatever it is, you can pray to God about it. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. I've had things in my life where I thought, you know, I probably shouldn't bother God with this one. But that's not true. We should let God know all of our desires. And of course, He knows best. He's going to answer it according to what is best. But we should never think that anything is not important enough to take to God. But when we desire the forgiveness of sins, one thing we know for sure, God is ready to forgive our sins. God does not want us to sin. God does not want us to live in sin. God wants us to repent. He's ready. 24 hours a day you can do it. Same thing with baptism. You know, oftentimes you hear people, you know, we'll schedule that baptism for next Wednesday. That's not what God wants. God wants us to do it now. Of course, we have to adhere to what people want. It's their decision. But the truth is that we want to baptize as soon as possible. We want to do it as quickly as possible. And God most certainly wants people to do these things as quickly as possible. And we need to remember that we are the ones that need to be reconciled to God and not Him to us. God really doesn't owe us anything, does He? He does because He wants to do. Oftentimes when we think of friendship, friends do because they want to do. Anytime you hold a gun to somebody's head, they're not doing something because they want to. It's not in the right way. And that's why Jesus, He doesn't come down, force people to do right. He doesn't do that. People have free will. He wants them to choose to follow Him. Now, what do we need to do? What do we need to be ready for? We need to be ready to hear. In Ecclesiastes 5:1, the Bible says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. We think about that. What is the sacrifice of fools? Well, when people do something according to their own desires. So maybe they change the worship that God wants. Maybe they change the plan of salvation. When people do this, they're changing the recipe. Like we talked about this morning, biscuit recipe. I've since researched that. It seems there is butter and maybe buttermilk in there. We have to have that recipe right or we're going to get some weird stuff. It's not going to be a biscuit. I don't know what it'll be. And the same thing happens with the Bible, the Word of God. We have to follow it correctly or we'll end up with some hybridized version of something that God doesn't want. We do not want to do that. Matthew 15, verse 9, and this is the Lord speaking, says, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And we can think about this all over the world. We can think about some very powerful organizations that are all over the world. I won't mention names, but we think about people who have great power, people who are called names that they should not be called, such as Father. All these things are taking on more than we're allowed to take on. More power, more glory. And we don't need to do that. The Bible tells us that God is in command and all men are below Him. All women are below Him and should submit to Him, follow the plan of salvation in order to attain eternal life. But when we presume that something is acceptable, maybe because someone important says so, maybe because it's a powerful group. You know, there's a lot of groups around here gathering on Sundays that are a lot bigger than the Church of Christ. And a lot of times people think bigger is better. And that can lead us astray in our lives. In Psalm 19, verse 13, we read, "Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression." Sometimes we do these things and we may not even think about it. There may be people in your family who are just going every Sunday somewhere and they do not think about it. They are not doing sin on purpose. It is not a sin that they're consciously thinking about. It's something that they're doing out of habit. It's something we need to enlighten them about slowly and hope that they change. Because if you're not following the full doctrine of God, well, you're not going to make it to heaven. What about people who are very influential? People who are great speakers. They can be very influential. And we have to watch out for that too. Because people can have millions of followers. They can speak well. And I always say, I've said it over and over again, they can preach 85% of the correct doctrine. But that last 15%, that's going to cause a problem. So we need to make sure that we're listening to the right people. We also need to be ready to do God's will after we hear it. And that takes some submission. We talked about this morning with baptism and different things, repenting. Maybe if there is a public sin, you'd want to come forward before the congregation and say, you know, I've sinned, I'm trying to get back on the right track, whatever. These are activities of submission. And they can be difficult for us to do because our egos get in the way. But we always have to be ready to do that if the need arises. And really it comes down to James 1 verse 21, which reads, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." So we are submitting to this word. We are saying the word is greater than I am. The word is greater than the fear that I have to come before the people and admit that I've sinned or come before the people and be baptized. And that's what God wants. Because eternity is a lot longer than standing in front of a group of people and admitting a wrong, which it does not take long to do that, right? Very quick process. And we need to be ready to teach God's Word. And I often talk about this. You don't have to be able to get up here. Probably every one of you could if you had to get up and make a speech. Many of you have. I've heard people making speeches. But the thing about that is God does not expect you to get up here and preach the Word. God does not expect you to stand up here and teach a class. That's not necessarily what we're talking about when we need to be ready to teach. It's that we need to be an example. And if somebody asks us a question about our beliefs, about why we're at peace, maybe, because we should be giving an example of having a hope beyond this life. If somebody asks you why you have that, you need to be ready to give an answer. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So being able to tell people what you believe in and why, that's really what we're talking about here. And we can do this by studying God's Word, by knowing the basics, by being versed in it well enough to get that point across, and then by inviting someone to have a Bible study with us if they're interested further. And there's a lot of little cards you can get that tell verses where everything's located. There's a lot of things that you can get. You can look it up online now, so you don't have to have all the verses memorized necessarily. It's good if you can memorize verses. Don't get me wrong. I am not against memorizing verses. Putting these verses in your mind and memorizing them, that's a great thing. But if you don't have that as an ability, or if your talent is not memorization, there's a lot of ways to do that now. And we need to be able to give that answer. Another thing I wanted to talk about tonight is how our emotional hearts can deceive us. And what I mean by that is when we look at the heart and the mind in the Bible, the root word of mind refers a little bit more to intellect in the Bible, and the root word of heart is a little bit more towards emotions. But you often see those used interchangeably in the Bible, in your heart, in your mind. And we need to realize that our emotions can deceive us. And we are emotional creatures. I will tell you that if you put out there logic and if you put out there emotion, the honey, because if you have honey and vinegar, you know which one draws more? The honey is emotion. Getting people to feel something gets them to respond a lot more than giving them a logical reason to do so. We need to be careful about this. It's good when we think about Jesus and His death. It can really motivate you. I remember a while back, I think it was early 2000s when the movie Passion of the Christ came out. Very graphic, and in many ways I think good to see that and be able to relate to that, what happened to Jesus. And many, many people were very motivated by that because it was very emotional. But at the same time, we can sometimes have a false teacher that is able to use emotion. A bad one to think of, and we often think of him, was Hitler. And we listen now and we think, how could somebody follow that? And you listen to the speeches, it's scary. You think, that's scary. How do people follow? They did. They followed him. Enough did. And I will tell you that in the same way, false teachers can present the gospel in a way that's not correct and get people to follow them. We need to be careful with that. But God, He knows your heart. He knows your motives. And many times when you're confused about something that you're doing and you don't know if it's right or wrong, but you're doing your best and you pray about that, we worry incessantly over some things. Did I say the right thing? Did I do too much of this, or did I not do this right? Pray to the Lord. He does know your heart. But by reading God's Word, that overcomes the emotions. Always remember that. If you're confused, this guy sounds good. Is that true? That's amazing. I feel motivated to go to this congregation or whatever. You need to go back and check the Word, because the Word overpowers our emotions. And it should. We should always go to the Word first. It may feel right to do something, but unless it's in the Bible, we do not know for sure if it's correct. We can be deceived. Only God is capable of not be deceived. We are capable of being deceived. So we have an obligation to look beyond emotions and find the truth of God as it is written in His Word. And only then will we be able to give others the true reason for the hope that is in us, as Peter said. Now we're going to talk about a couple of little examples. So let's look at a negative example of readiness. So Peter, you remember this, he thought he was ready. In Luke 22:33, Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." That's what he said. But the Lord knew better. He knew Peter better than Peter knew Peter. And the Lord said back to him, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me." Peter just was not mature enough yet, and his talk had surpassed his ability, basically. Many of us may be in that situation, but throughout our lives we should be trying to get more and more mature. Because we see a positive example, and it's the same guy. It's Peter. Let's look at John. Actually, it's not. Let me just go ahead and go through this part. Peter was not ready at that time. We can see that clearly. But he thought he was. But who was chosen to speak at Pentecost? We know it was Peter. And he preached that bold sermon, and it changed the world forever. And we know that Peter, he was crucified. We don't know this for sure. Secular history says that he was crucified and did it upside down because he didn't want to be compared with Christ. We don't know that for sure. But certainly, God gave him that responsibility at Pentecost because he had matured and came a long way. And we should be seeking to do that same thing. Peter had become ready. Now let's talk about another positive example of readiness. Paul wanted to preach to those in Rome. It was dangerous to go to Rome at that time. We know that Nero was really, I guess you could say, he was mentally off. He was a problematic emperor. He was killing Christians, but he wasn't just killing Christians. He was killing his own workers. He was killing people that were helping him, trying to help him to run Rome. And Paul wanted to go there, and he wanted to preach. In Romans 1:15, he said, "I am eager also to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." And later, through the aid and providence of God, he preached in Rome. And in Acts 28, verses 30 through 31, the Bible says Paul lived there 2 whole years in his own rented quarters and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with complete boldness and without restriction. And Paul, we know, he was willing to do anything to spread the gospel, even to die. And I think that we need to keep that in mind sometimes. Are we willing to go through anything in order to spread the gospel? Can we do that? It's tough. Let's give another example of readiness. This one is Ezra. He was a scribe and he was a priest, and this is in the Old Testament. And he was given religious and political powers by the Persian king Artaxerxes to lead a group of Jewish exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem. And since the scribes, they daily copied the law, they were expected to know it. They became teachers of the law for this reason. And Ezra, he not only knew the law, but he taught it and he lived it. And he stood up before the people and he told them what the law was. And he didn't care what the reaction was going to be. He did it because it was more important to him than anything else that they know how to be saved. And I ask you tonight, if somebody is in need in your life of knowing the truth, are you willing to tell it to them? And of course, you're going to do that. You're going to open the door a little, see if they take it. We can't force anybody to do anything. Not even Jesus forces us to obey Him. But we can open that door and we can be willing to teach those who need to be taught. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to learn the gospel. He wants you to live it. He wants you to always be ready to discuss the basics of it with anyone who wants to know it. So I ask you tonight, first of all, are you ready for the judgment day? But also, are you ready to teach those who need it? In Hebrews 7, verse 25, we read, "So He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them." Now that's speaking of Jesus. And we need to make sure that we offer that gift to everyone in our lives who wants it. And we also need to make sure that we are in the right relationship with Jesus, that we have followed the doctrine correctly. And to do that, we need to follow the plan of salvation. I'm going to go over that now. First, you need to hear the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to believe in God, Hebrews 11, 6. You need to repent. Luke 13, 3 tells us that. You need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men, Matthew 10, 32. And you need to be baptized. It's immersed in water. Again, the water is not magical. It is a representation of being buried and rising anew to a life with Christ. Mark 16, 16 and Acts 2, 38 tells us that. And then we need to live faithfully. That means always repenting after we sin, always being ready to tell others about the gospel. Revelation 2:10 tells us that. So if you have need tonight to get ready, if you have need of the prayers of the congregation, or if you have need of baptism, I invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.